James just stoked the fire.
Yeah, stoked the fire.
Turn with me, if you will, and have your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. The pastor spoke a little bit on Job this morning, and Job has always been amazing to me. Job's just a man like the rest of us, but his grace has always been almost unfathomable to me. His grace is just amazing. And if anyone that we have in Scripture is the example, the exemplary person of Romans 8:28, I think it must be Job. He figured everything was going to work, you know, to his good, and God was going to work it that way. And it'd be great if we could all be that way. Things worked for my good this morning. I had a flat tire, and I got a free ride over here. So, well, it worked out all right. I want the folks here at Desi to know that you really do have a special place in my heart. I attended, I think, the first conference here in 2003. I joined the church, Lower Steel Run, in August 2002. And I've made most of the conferences since I started coming. And Desi has a special place in my heart. Some of the people here, all the people, very special to me, all the members here. And this is the first place that I preached. And I'm still as unworthy now as I was then. But you received me very graciously. And I appreciate the invitation to be here today. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter 4, starting reading in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now I want us to note a couple things before we get started into the subject, Lord willing, of this message. First of all, I want us to notice who this letter is written to. We go back to the beginning of 1 Peter. We see in the first two verses here, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. All right. This letter was written to those saints that were dispersed or scattered throughout that area. We need to note that. Now, the second thing I want to note this morning, I want to note some of the key elements of these verses we just read. But the end of all things is at hand. That's one. Have fervent charity among yourselves. Now, if you go and look to see what fervent charity means, I believe that I could arguably substitute for these two words, fervent charity, unceasing love and affection. Unceasing love and affection among ourselves. The next I want us to notice is hospitality, one to another without grudging. Hospitality is a fondness for visiting. For visiting, going and visiting others, and for receiving others when they visit us without grudging. For example, if I'm out up the house over at Mother's, and Mark Jr. comes by, and I'm out there working, doing something like this morning, changing a tire, and Mark stops and helps me, I should be very grateful for that. He's my brother in Christ. He stopped and helped me. I really appreciate it. You know, I did turn around and say, I didn't see any reason for him to stop by. You know, this is a fondness we have for our brothers and sisters. No grudge. All right. The other thing I like to see, for us to see here today, is good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are called to be good stewards, overseers, of the manifold grace of God. That word manifold means all various kinds, different kinds of. Okay? It means diverse. We could say God's grace is unlimited. There's no limit to His grace. It is diverse. And then another thing I want us to notice is if any man speak, to speak as the oracles of God. Now this really means if a man wants to speak to God's people as a teacher, a minister, in any capacity like that, that man needs to speak God's word.
Amen.
Nothing else. God's word. Now yes, God uses the agency of man. And we all have different personalities. But we are to preach, teach, and witness God's word. His word. His word. I want us to note that. Now the last thing I want us to note this morning is the very last part of this verse in verse 11. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion forever and ever. So what I want us to note about this is that the rest of this, these scriptures here, our text from verse 11, verse 7 through 11, we must do it just this way to glorify God. Okay? We must do this. We must relate to our brothers and sisters with unceasing affection, being fond of visiting them and entertaining them when they visit, and doing so sincerely, not half-heartedly or grumbling or murmuring, that we must be good stewards and be good to witness only God's word. Okay? That's what I'd like for us to see. Now let's try to move into the subject this morning. As the reborn elect of God, we've been given many gifts and privileges. No question about that. Now, one of these greatest privileges can bring us much physical comfort and spiritual nourishment. And yet, it's a privilege that God's people often neglect. They grow weary of it. They're half-hearted in it. And I'm speaking for myself, too. Yet, it's a privilege that we need to exercise. And the willful neglect of this privilege, or any half-hearted attempts for embracing this privilege to its fullness, can lead to coldness in us. And it can stunt our spiritual growth, and it can suppress our joy, it will stifle our charity. Alright? And the chronic neglect of this privilege will disable us from fulfilling this scripture. We cannot glorify God, in other words, through our Savior Jesus Christ, if we do not embrace, accept, be so thankful for this privilege and this gift. Now, what privilege am I speaking of? Just exactly what Peter is speaking to here for these saints that are scattered throughout this part of Asia. I'm talking about the gift of fellowship and fellowshipping together. It's a wonderful gift that we've been given. It's a privilege for us to fellowship together. And in a time like this, in this Bible conference, what a wonderful time to fellowship. You know, I think that often human nature just causes us to limit in our minds our concept of fellowship. And we don't really think about the entirety of the fellowship that we've been called into. But do you know that we have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the apostles, the saints of all ages, our local assembly, our ministers, and congregationally with all God's elect that He's called and He's placed in His true church. That's there. Our fellowship is really unlimited. And what we can derive from that fellowship is unlimited. Now, to try to get a mental image of this and what I'm talking about, we can look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now here's a wonderful verse. Picture this. We've been called into this household where God is the head, He's the patron, and we're all abiding under one roof. Now think about that. Just imagine a large estate, larger than we can imagine. All right, that's what we're called into. Now, it's extraordinary to me that we have fellowship with God the Father. And we really think about that very much, and yet we know from Hebrews 4:16 and Isaiah 57:15 that we can come directly to the throne room to God Himself.
Amen. Amen.
In times of need, times of trouble, when we need spiritual nourishment, when we need counseling, when we need direction, when we need comfort, we can come provided our approach is proper and acceptable. That we come humbly and penitent? Absolutely. We have fellowship with God the Father. And we know we have fellowship with God the Son. Because God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this is amazing to me too. We have fellowship with God the Son. We have fellowship with Him. Here is a man who is God, who died for us to give us life. Isn't that amazing? I mean, really, if you think about it, here is God, the Creator, who condescended to come to the creature that He knew would reject Him and despise Him. And did we kill Him? No. He freely gave His life. He laid it down in obedience to God the Father. This is God's plan of salvation. He gave His life. His blood flowed freely for us. Why? So that He could make us joint heirs with Him. Now man would never think of that kind of a plan. Man would never be so loving, so generous to lay down his life so that some other man could have everything that he owns. But that's what Christ did for us, so that we could have fellowship with Him.
Amen.
And not only with Him, through that act, we have all that fellowship, grace that I spoke of. Fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, all the apostles, all the saints, our local assembly, our ministers, congregationally. He died for that for us, that we have full fellowship. And how could we ever deny that we have fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit that first made that call effectual in us and our hearts. The Holy Spirit that convicted us. The Holy Spirit that illuminated us to the truth of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That opened the eyes of our understanding. He who comforts us. He who instructs us. How could we ever deny that we have fellowship with God the Holy Spirit? He who indwells us. But He also who we grieve. If we do not fully embrace this privilege of fellowship that we've been given. It's a privilege. It's a great privilege. So we see the fellowship is a lot more than just coming to church on Sunday. Fellowship is a vast, vast, never-ending resource and privilege that God's given us. Now, there's a couple of things I want to note here. This is a vast community we've been called into. It's a vast community of fellowship. That's one of the things I'd like for us to see this morning if we can. I didn't pay any attention to the time. Back to Ephesians 2:19. In this household of God. This is a never-ending household, okay? Now, I want you to understand something. And you all know this, but I'd like for us to apply it this way. If I may. God does everything according to His pattern. God does everything decently and in good order. Alright? So when we are called drawn into the household of God, which we know we are. We are called in, and we must be proper, and we must order ourselves decently, because that's how God does things. Now, there is no community or large estate, household, that you will ever be called into that is successful, that is properly organized and decently run, where all things are done in good order, that you're called into for eternity. You're not just visiting here, folks. You are now a member of this household. We are abiding in this household. We don't come in and just freeload. We don't just come in and plop down on the couch and start eating tater chips. Everybody is called to have a role in this household because all things, God does all things decently and in proper order. So we see we have a role when we are called into fellowship. And so we see that fellowship is not only a gift and a privilege, but it brings responsibilities with it. It's required. We can't live in this household. We're in this household. It's a never-ending household. Regardless of what room we go into, there's always another room. They're all magnificent. No matter how many flights we go up, there's still another flight. We just cannot explore this household. It's a marvelous thing. But there's work to be done in it. And everybody plays a role in doing that work in the household of God. All right? So we have not only a privilege and a gift to abide in this dwelling place, but we must fulfill our role to abound in the dwelling place. All right? Now, it's impossible to live in a house with other people without fellowshipping with them. You can't do it. And anybody that runs their own home, you know everybody has to pitch in. And that there's rules. Okay? And when you live in a home with other people, everybody has the free run of the home. Now, that's provided they're doing things decently and in good order. But imagine, if you will, that you're laying on the couch eating tater chips and looking for the remote. Whose house are we in? God's house. Not just right now. We're called into fellowship with God. God can walk through that door anytime. Are you comfortable laying on the couch eating tater chips?
Just a thought. Just a thought.
So we have a marvelous gift and privilege and fellowship. And we are in the household of God. Not just now, but when we walk through that door and go out that door. We're still in the household of God. Now we said that fellowship was not just coming to church on Sunday, and that's true. But the local assembly is one of the greatest places we have for exercising opportunity that God gives us. Think about that. Opportunity. Opportunity to explore the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
Now, yeah. Okay, right here's where I tell them a little story that I believe that the editor of the Voice in the Wilderness printed not too long ago, if you know who he is. He's somebody, maybe here. You could say, okay, I can stay at home, I can take my Bible, I can read my Bible, Holy Spirit's indwelling in me, I'm saved, and I can explore the unsearchable riches of Christ all by myself. It is true that we are to study to show ourselves approved. Is that still there? Okay. That's true. But there's a little story that the pastor here printed one time in that paper. A man decided, for whatever reason, he was weary. He was just going to stay home. He wasn't going to go to church. He wasn't going to come to the local assembly. He's going to stay home. He'd read his Bible. He's saved. He's comfortable in the Lord. He's just comfortable being himself. He doesn't want to bother to go back to the church. So the preacher stops by to see him. And he's sitting there in the living room, and there's a fire going, and they're talking a little bit, you know. Of course, the man knows why the preacher's there. Preacher takes a fire iron and reaches over there and he kicks one of the coals out on the hearth. And they're sitting there talking, and pretty soon that ember's dying. Yeah. And the preacher said, "You see that coal there? You see how hot it was when I come out of the fire and how it was glowing? And do you see now how that glow is diminished? It's almost going out.
That's what happens when we withdraw ourselves from fellowship
Amen.
With our brethren.
Amen.
So we have an opportunity to grow and stay on fire for Christ and reflect His light and search the unsearchable riches of Christ in our local assembly and congregationally like this. That we just, it's a magnification of what we can do of ourselves, and it's our place. You know, God calls us into our local assemblies. We have an opportunity to hear the preaching of God's Word. We have an opportunity to see souls saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? All right. When you've seen someone who God's been working in their heart, has changed them, made them new creatures in Christ, and they make a profession, I don't know. It's a wonderful thing. We have an opportunity to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. I rejoice that Brother Willie's back here. The last time I saw him in Charleston, before I saw him yesterday, he didn't look so good. But a lot of people are praying for you, brother, and I'm really, really glad to see you back.
Amen.
We still pray for you. We have an opportunity to spread God's Word throughout our community and beyond. This little church right here and the work they've done, the mission work in the Philippines, it's amazing. A little church, God, you know what? God's made strong in our weakness. It doesn't matter how small we are. It's our faith. And we need to keep that faith hot by being in the assembly. Fellowshipping together. We have an opportunity for personal spiritual growth and to witness the spiritual growth of others. I've taken great pleasure, and that's really just my heart's just really rejoiced. I can name a couple of brothers that I've watched just grow tremendously.
Man.
Now that's a real joy to your heart.
It is.
To see that kind of spiritual growth in people. We have an opportunity to keep our brothers and sisters on God's narrow path when they stray. That's an opportunity. That's not drudgery. That's opportunity. We have an opportunity to be tender-hearted and forgiving of one another. That's an opportunity. We need to be forgiving and tender-hearted. We can't enjoy full fellowship together if we don't do that. And we need to remember, if we don't forgive our brothers and sisters, neither will God forgive us. We have an opportunity to comfort, to encourage, and to pray for one another. Prayer doesn't change God, but prayer changes us.
Amen.
We have an opportunity to be informed of those who have need. Need of our prayers, and need of distributing to the necessity of the saints. Brother Grigsby yesterday, he touched on that. He touched on a lot of this. As a matter of fact, this ties very, really very closely with all of the messages I heard yesterday. This fellowshipping is very important. Brother Grigsby talked about being out after the storm, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Now, if we don't get together in the assembly and congregationally when we have these opportunities, or they're round about us, if we don't do that, then somebody may be over here in the next holler or the next town or the next county or the next state and be in need of one of our people, one of God's people, one of our brethren. And we can help them, but we don't know it if we're not fellowshipping together. So it's an opportunity. We have an opportunity to magnify our worship and praise by gathering together. Our worship and praise is magnified when we gather together.
Yeah.
And we have an opportunity to glorify God by being of one accord, like-minded, one toward another. And that's very important. All of these things that we see that are opportunities in the local assembly are magnified when we come together congregationally, as we are like in a Bible conference. There's no limit to the blessing of the faithful assembly when Jesus Christ is the head and the fountain. For we are members of His body, His flesh, and His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You know where I'm going with this? This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, Ephesians 5, 30, 31, 32. We have a tremendous opportunity, a very special opportunity, to be in the bride of Christ. But I believe only if we're faithful. Only if we're faithful. And we must be diligent to be faithful in every facet of the fellowship that we have been given. Every facet, with the Father, with the Son, the Holy Spirit, with the assembly, and with all of God's elect. And we must be holy as He is holy. We must walk by faith and not by sight. And we must be good to be obedient to Him and to keep His commandments. And we have an opportunity as Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist, the Lord's true church, to be in the bride of Christ. I believe. We also have the privilege that I've learned, I will say, to covet and desire more and more. We have a privilege of fellowship. A facet of this privilege is that we can fellowship with the ministers of God. When we have these Bible conferences, especially, or revivals, we have preachers and pastors that come from all over, not only to preach the Word of God to us, but that we can sit down and talk to, and we can fellowship with. And now this is a big deal to me, okay? Especially since I've been preaching, I now understand. You know, preachers need to be preached to.
Amen.
And they need that fellowship. We all need it. And if you want proof of that, look in Romans chapter 1 and verse 12. Because Paul says that he needs fellowship. He needs fellowship with God's people to be comforted together by the mutual faith. So it's important. And it's a great opportunity for all of us. And it's a blessing to have faithful pastors to fellowship with as they watch for our souls, and they must give an account. It's a privilege to share a conversation with them, to pray for them and have them pray for us. That's a privilege. It's a gift that God's given us. It's a privilege and a gift to lift our voices and praise to God together with these men who come to us to preach the Word of God and to have them preach the Word of God. These men whose conversation we follow to remain steadfast in the faith. Okay? They must give an account with joy, not with grief, because that's not profitable for us. I will stop right here and say, I've been coming to most of these, like I said before, most of these Bible conferences, but everyone I've been to, Brother Ernest Parson, has been here.
Amen.
Everyone. Until this time, he was not able to come. I believe every time, almost before he said anything else, he would say something like, "Brothers and sisters, if I don't get anything else accomplished today, if the precious name of my Lord and Savior is magnified and lifted up, that's okay. That's what I want to do." What a wonderful, faithful man.
Amen.
We need to pray for them and be thankful for them. What a blessing it is to have born again, God saved, God enabled men to preach the Word of God and preach it pure and untainted. Because there's too much preaching today that's not the Word of God. There's not enough Holy Spirit preaching. And that's what we need, and it's a blessing. Men who preach the Word and be instant, in season and out of season. To reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. All sound doctrine. We need to make sure we stay sound in doctrine and have sound men that will stay sound in doctrine and not go along with those that are leaning on their own understanding. men who do not have itching ears, men who will not be taken in by cunningly devised fables or the vain philosophies of men. What a blessing it is to have faithful ministers who will preach the Word of God. Period. Men who are loving, warm-hearted, and desiring to see souls saved. We're really blessed here at this Bible conference. And I'm, my wife and I are getting out, traveling a lot now, and going to different Bible conferences and revivals. And it's really wonderful to see this fellowship and to share fellowship with others like-minded, and to hear other preachers preach and to talk to other members of other congregations, other assemblies. It's just a wonderful time. It really lifts you up. Preachers need to be prayed for, folks.
Amen.
They really do. They're long-suffering men who, though they be troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Thank God for faithful preachers. You know, a lot of these preachers, you can hear them preach. Brother Grigsby, I've been preaching for 40 years. I'm concerned with God's Word. Is it being heard? Is there a word from God? Remember? So it's a blessed gift that we have to fellowship with the men of God. Finally this morning, I want to note again that all the opportunities and blessings we have with the local assembly are magnified when we fellowship congregationally as we have here this weekend in this Bible conference. And we can not only do that, you know, with right around in this community. We can get in the car and drive over to Brother Long's in Kentucky. We can get in the car and drive over to Brother James's down in North Carolina. We have that gift. We have that blessing. We have that opportunity. It's up to us to take it. What a blessing to come together in fellowship and to share in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a blessing to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. What a blessing to enter His gates with thanksgiving and praise, magnified by our numbers when we come together congregationally. Thank God for this gift and privilege of fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, with all the apostles, all the saints throughout the era, okay, that are placed in the true church of God. And all of God's reborn elect. Now, I'd like to just take a moment here at the end, wrapping up, and look back and consider two things. One, I want to look back again at the beginning of this epistle and read these first two verses, or just part of the second verse. Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, I believe that these were scattered out. Now, first of all, I want to tell you, this area today is be the eastern region of Turkey. This is a big area, okay? I don't know what it's roughly equivalent to, but I know from looking on the map that it'd take in an area the size that was represented here at this Bible conference over this weekend. Kentucky, North Carolina, Ohio, West Virginia, easily would take in that area. And these saints were scattered throughout this area. When we look back at this text verse and tell us what Peter was telling these people, he wasn't just writing this letter to a local assembly. He was writing it to all these people. Now, I believe all these people were set in the true church of God. That's what I believe. I believe all these people were truly saved, set in the true church of God. They've been scattered. Peter's writing to them to encourage them. Okay? He writes today to encourage us. He's telling us, fellowship together. Y'all get together and fellowship together. And be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's what he's telling us here. He's telling them that, and they actually represent an area about the size of what we represented here in this Bible conference. So we need to understand who the letter was written to. And then I want to draw your attention to the beginning of verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand.
Yeah.
Now, how many times did we hear throughout this Bible conference, We all know, look, the day is approaching, and everybody that does know me will be maybe thankful that I never once mentioned Hebrews 10:25. Not once. I've never once mentioned Hebrews 10:25. As we see the day approaching, the day's at hand. This fellowship is so much more important right now than it has ever been. So I want us to notice that. Now, Brother Grigsby brought out that our churches are dying. And our churches may be dying and our numbers dwindle. But that does not deny us this privilege and gift of fellowship. And neither does it relieve us from the responsibility of seeking more diligently that fellowship. All right? Thus understand that. And finally, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. But do good, and to communicate forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well-pleased. I'll tell you what, if you don't remember anything else today, remember this about fellowship. Remember this. If you don't remember anything else. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly.
Yeah.
If we sow bountifully and we look and seek fellowship with like-minded saints, the elect of God, we will grow. And we will be strengthened. And we will be comforted. And we will be nourished. If we do that sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we do it bountifully, we will reap abundantly. And that's really all I have. I hope that everybody here knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God's working in your heart. I pray that you'll continue to seek Him because He's put that in your heart.
Amen.
So I pray you'll continue to seek Him. May God's Word dwell richly in your hearts today.
Amen.
I dearly love Brother Chuck. He's been a blessing to my heart. Randy, you have a song.